So welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And on this episode, I wanted to cover some emails that I got, not from listeners of the show, but I subscribe to emails from like Mile High Comics and My Comic Shop. And I saw some interesting things on in the industry, I guess I'd like to mention. One of them is about the Marvel Legacy lenticular covers. And I know that DCBS opted to offer these at 50% off. They're pretty amazing covers. Like, it gives the Legacy cover, gives the new cover as you flip it. I chose to not get them. I just got the books that I wanted to get. I found a lot of them that I wasn't collecting, and even though I think the cover's beautiful, I decided not to get them. But my retailer decided to get them in hopes that the other shops wouldn't get them, because they have Marvel's doing that ridiculous bullshit again. Like, you order 50 copies of Iron Man, or a certain percentage of Iron Man, and they know they can't sell it, and then you can get as many of the lenticular covers as you want. But then they're stuck with 50 copies of something they can't get rid of. So I imagine it would hurt these big shops, because then they'd get large amounts of something they couldn't offload, unless they have some kind of deal going on. I don't know. So this one came from MyComicShop.com. It's Buddy Saunders is the owner of MyComicShop.com, and he's there in Texas. And this is my preferred store to going to over Mile High. Not just because of the sales. I find the pricing a lot fairer, but I find the grading even more fair. So that's where I choose to go. But in this one, it says, except for Marvel Legacy number 1, we will not be offering the Marvel Legacy lenticular covers. This decision comes too late for me to address in the detail this week. I will do so next week, as you, our customers, need to know why we've made the decision not to stock all of the 29 Marvel Legacy title lenticular covers. The only lenticular covers we will offer is for Legacy number 1. Many retailers have made the same choice we have. Next week I'll tell you why. And I bet you it has to do with the shenanigans that Marvel's doing to ask for these lenticular covers, because my shop told me, like, for one of them, I think it was the Iron Man one or whatever, you had to order 50 copies, and that's a percentage of whatever he had ordered of something else. So he had to order, he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do with 50 copies of Invincible Iron Man, because he's got a pull list of like 10, maybe 15 of that, and then he's stuck with, you know, the remainder of that just to get the lenticular covers. And he said a lot of people hadn't ordered the lenticular covers this time. I wonder if they're becoming desensitized to getting these variants as well. But also, he said he's banking on the other shops just not doing it because of this crazy number, and that they'll be coming to his store instead. Well, based on big shops, well, like MyComicShop.com not getting them, I'm sure he'll be able to sell them, because if he doesn't sell them within the store, I'm sure as hell he can sell them online, just because there's probably a lot of stores, just like this guy Buddy said, that are bailing out on not participating in this particular incentive. The covers are beautiful, though. They really are. Matter of fact, they had the T-shirt covers, and when I was getting back in elementary school, comics were about 25 cents or 30 cents. And I was trading with another guy who was in the neighborhood, and he had his father's collection, and he had a lot of 12-cent comics. And I didn't, at the time, I thought the art was far and superior. God, I wish I would have kept these books, because I traded them away as fast as I could read them, because I didn't enjoy them as much. But I had, like, so many fantastic books that are worth a fortune now passed through my hands. And inside of those books were ads, and they had these old Marvel T-shirts that, like, Here Comes the Hulk, Here Goes the Hulk, and they had the Thing shirt and the Spider-Man shirt by Ditko with the webbing on the bottom of his feet. And these t-shirts are amazing to me. I always wanted a shirt, but obviously I couldn't get one because these were older comics. I couldn't send away for a shirt. But Marvel is having, in the Legacy Month, they're having the not only the lenticular covers but the t-shirt covers, but they were also like on really, really high price. So I decided to not get that because I'm really not selling my collection. So like if I was a speculator, I might go for this stuff. Like I might get the lenticular covers at 50% off and then get rid of them. But I'm not. That's not me. So yeah, I found it quite interesting. On the Mile High side, they're having a sale, and it's the Labor Day sale, and Chuck Rosowski, he puts out the weekly email, and they're having a 50% off Labor Day code word sale. And his article starts off some interesting. He said, "I had a brief meeting with my accountant this afternoon, and the news from our final tally for last year was the same as it is almost always turns out to be. We worked hard all year, and in the end, all we made was diddly squat in terms of a cash profit. We did not lose money, but our operating profit was only about 1.7 cents on the dollar of sales. On the flip side, we did successfully add over 100,000 new items to our inventory." So what it sounds like in terms of profit is they haven't had much luck in profit because they're still buying large collections. As a matter of fact, he says they're one of the only shops in Denver that is buying toys and comic collections. But at some point, if your profits aren't what they want, maybe you should stop buying the collections. And I know that people are not buying as much, like at the store level, because the demand is somehow dropping. And I can't say it's across the board, but what I can say in a small scale is it looks that way in Denver from a big store perspective, such as Mile High. And then, as far as stores buying back collections from people, they're not doing it. That's a Mile High is doing it. My comic shop is still doing it. So the bigger retailers are doing it, but the smaller ones are not. Even my shop has cut back buying large collections. Matter of fact, I was in the comic shop about 3 weeks ago before my vacation, and he was on the phone with a collector trying to get rid of old Venom books. And he said, "Yeah, I'll look at them." Because he was frustrated. He started yelling at my retailer because none of the other retailers would look at his books. And he actually hung up on him and then called back because he got so flustered. But that's not a way to sell your books. So, yeah, maybe we're entering an era where demand for product of older issues is not as much as the intake of these books. The actual reader, consumer, collector is not buying as much, but stores are. I don't know if it's that's what we're entering in, but I thought those emails were pretty doggone interesting. I had another couple of questions from yesterday when I asked, and I will get to those if I can scroll up on the Facebook fast enough. And I can't find it. See, that's what happens when you post so much crap. Okay. My wife says, "When is enough enough?" I don't know. I talked a little bit about that in the last episode. Shane said, "Hopefully never." My buddy from Australia down under. He asked how I'm enjoying Secret Empire, and thanks for the awesome entertainment. I think I'm only 4 issues in. I haven't read the last 3 or 4 issues. I enjoyed the way it started much more than I was in the middle. That's all I can say. But it's still a solid book. It's very entertaining. It does seem out of continuity with the rest of the Marvel universe. That's all I could say. But it is well written, and I'm enjoying it. Some of it's close to home with politics and stuff, but it is an interesting read. Robert Atkins, famous artist, says, "Why is Keith Knudsen so awesome?" I think it's because he farts a lot, and he doesn't care who smells it. But I also think it's because he's experienced so much in his life. And when he tells a story, everybody is captivated by the story, because he's got a lot to tell, and he's experienced a lot of life. And I think that's why people love him so much. He's a good soul, and he's a good friend, a really good brother. Norbert says, "Do you have your favorite long story arc or crossover from this summer that is not by DC?" I am so not current. But I will say the Carnage was a very long story. It was 16 issues of story, and it was very, very good. And I talked about it a lot last episode, so I'm not going to go into it. But it was kind of like a Dracula, Van Helsing type thing, except with the FBI agency and Carnage. And very long, and it was very good. And I think some of it bled into the previous year, but it finished up this year. So I would say that's one of my long-term... Like, Cyborg is also a story that's been going on forever, but it really, with a couple of single issues here and there, it's just meandering. I mean, it's not horribly bad, and it does make progress, but I could use another story arc in Cyborg. I just wanted to get past that singularity thing and his father being captured and all that. And Rob says, "We never talk anymore. Do you still love me?" Of course I love Rob. He's my brother. Like I said, it's just been a busy summer, and I don't see it ending until the end of September. So you might not hear a lot from me recording with my brothers. You may hear more single episodes, because I could do those at midnight, or I could do them whenever I feel like it. I hope Rob... I know Rob and Daryl recorded an episode of Retrocast while I was out on vacation at Myrtle Beach, and I just haven't received it yet. But when I get it, I will post it. I do know that me and Bill will record an episode tomorrow, but then it's really hodgepodge for the rest of the month. Even with Gotham by Geeks, I may get one or two more episodes in this month, probably one, but we'll see how all that goes. What else was I going to talk about? I think that was about it. So now I'm going to pause for the cause and go get my list of books. And we'll talk about the books for 2/5 through 2/11, or 12/5 2016 through 12/11 2016. And I'll be right back. Okay, we're back, and I'm back. And this is, again, for the weeks of December 5th, 2016 through December 11th of 2016. Had 29 books read that week. Two Valiant, six Marvel, one Devil's Due, 16 DC. We'll start at the 3 out of 5s, which means I liked it, the 4 out of 5s, and then get to the 5 out of 5s. There were 4 3 out of 5s. Those tend to be more rare than the 4 out of 5s, where I really enjoy it. We have Avengers Unplugged number 2. This is a fun series, but it's not the best comic book that's on the market. But it's highly entertaining. It's just 90s fun. This is the Avengers versus Graviton, who's trying to pretend he's losing his powers to add Pym particles, which will make him so powerful. And the Vision ends up defeating him. But really cool. It was a 99-cent comic book back in the day when they tried to do the 99-cent books that didn't succeed. I don't understand why they wouldn't. Why wouldn't people want to read 99-cent Fantastic Four, 99-cent Avengers, and 99-cent Spider-Man? It boggles my mind. Instead, they'd rather read the $2.99 or whatever it was at the time comic. But the next one was Batman number 12. As most of you know, I'm not a fan of Tom King's Batman because of the repetition of words. And it takes me out of the story. I don't hate the story, or I don't dislike it, because there are elements in there that I do enjoy in the plot. There's some things, it just, the dialogue, like, I can't sit back and be taken away with his comic. I can't. Even Mr. Miracle, same thing. I don't know what it is. But this was the letter to Catwoman while he fights to get the Psycho Pirates. It had beautiful art, but I did not like the story at all. It was my least favorite. I wrote in my notes, it was my least favorite Batman proper story since New 52. So I don't know what else to tell you. People are loving it, and every week I see tweets of people saying, like, Tom will say something like, well, I'm trying to think of the dialogue for this, and then somebody else will say, well, just repeat it over and over again, and it's like, ha ha ha, you get me, kind of thing. You know, he'll reply back, well, that's what drives me fucking crazy. Mr. Miracle is like, there's an Orion scene where he's like, stand, I'm standing, standing, and all, it just repeats over and over again. And by that point, it just takes me out, like, totally out of the story. And my brain just starts focusing on the word over and over again, and I'm no longer enjoying the book. But my phone's ringing, but I am going to finish this and then call my house back. So just ignore that right now. And we'll continue with Britannia number 3. This is where one of the witches attacks our hero when thought to be an ally. The Britannia story arc, volume 1, I did not enjoy that much. But volume 2 is a different story. And volume 1 centered around plot and not much characterization. And I find the opposite with Volume 2, and I think I'm drawn more into it. We have Wonder Woman 77 and Bionic Woman. They team out to take a terrorist. It's fun, but I think Andy Miggles, or he runs like the Wonder Woman Collectors Club. His writing is not clicking with me that well, but the concept is, so it still enjoyed it. I still like the fact that you see a lot of things popping up from the TV show. He's well versed in these two properties, the television show Wonder Woman and Bionic Woman. We have Shade the Changing Girl number 3. She finds out more about her past and starts moving to her future as Shade. What you'll find about in Shade is it's dropping for me, and it's because if I have to describe it, I'll be describing each issue very similarly. We have, so the next 4 out of 5 is Green Arrow number 12. They're back in Seattle, new Robin Hood base of operations, like in the forest, and is trying to get his company and city back. We have Future Quest number 3. This is Birdman and the Herculoids and the origin of the Herculoids, which one of my favorite properties in that Future Quest. More so than Space Ghost. I've always loved the Herculoids. Generation Zero number 1. This whole series didn't click with a lot of fans, but it really clicked with me as being original, and I became more attached to the characters now. And what they did in Harbinger Renegade, it kind of upset me, but it was well told, so I can't get that upset. I just thought they built so much and then took it down. That's their choice.
We have Midnighter and Apollo number 3. This is where Neuron and Apollo play a game in Hell, and Midnighter is heading to Hell to save Apollo. We have Ever After. This is Fables. This one I was really enjoying in the first arc. The second arc is starting to lose me a little bit, and I think it could be because I'm not well-versed in the Fables world. But this one I did enjoy quite a bit. It's Wolf's son undercover, and he's captured but escapes with Piper's help. We have Nightwing number 10 in Bloodhaven is establishing his new life with the social volunteer work. He helps arrest Gorilla Grimm. Maybe he's possibly innocent, and the Defacer is in the book, and you'll find out later that he becomes in a relationship with this character. Unworthy Thor number 1. I never finished this. I don't even think I read number 2. But it was really interesting. It seeks another hammer on the moon and fights trolls with his goat, and Beta Ray Bill offers up his hammer. I really need to get back on that. I want to see what happened with Beta Ray Bill's hammer. Death of Hawkman number 3, and I'm more into Marvel right now. I can't describe it to you. I'm in a very strange phase for a long, long time, which is really abnormal for me. Death of Hawkman number 3, Adam seeks Hawkman's help to find out who is trying to start a war. All signs are pointing to Despero. We have Aquaman number 12, U.S. attacks Atlantis. Nemo killing people in the U.S. and Mara storms off. JLA shows up at the end. Cyborg number 6. I talked about that. The log story arcs. Cyborg trains Variant, who's the other cyborg, the female cyborg, and then she betrays him. That was a good part of Cyborg. I really like the introduction of Variant, even though she's still in there now. She's not used as well as she was early on in the issues, in my opinion. Superman number 12, it was Superman versus Frankenstein. I really enjoyed it. Anytime you throw Frankenstein in there, it almost gets a bump. Love that character. Reporter is a creature, but Superman thinks she is human. Frankenstein knows otherwise. Fantastic art, and Frankenstein pops on the page, like artistically. Justice League number 10, they go to find James Jesse, which, if you know that name, they're playing on the trickster, and they find his kids released the genie, and there is a huge price on the head for the Justice League, for the death of the Justice League. This was a really good arc. I love the characters, the kids, and James Jesse in this. I don't think it ended very well, but that arc was probably one of the highlights of the series for me, and I am really behind in it. Batman and Robin 23.4. This is Killer Croc, which is one of my favorite villains. Goes after some bad cops, and his origin in the New 52. We have the 5 out of 5s, and there's a lot this week from in December. I had Fantastic Four 410. I was excited about this. I was reading it in the Marvel Epic Collection. This is Namor was hitting on Sue. Reed was jealous, doubting himself. This is when Reed returned back from his death. So, like, the Namor-Sue thing really went up level. So there's, like, the relationship building. And now Reed's back. Makes it really awkward. Very entertaining. Ben hitting on Lijah.
I think I'm gonna pause this and get my phone. All right, I am back, and I just thought, like, how the fuck is this wireless even working when I don't have the USB thing in the port, and I can't explain it. But it is recording. It might sound like the last episode, because even though it says it's going through Logitech wireless, it might be using my laptop's recorder. So you might have that weird echo. While I'm on it, I wanted to correct something I said in the last episode. I was trying to think of a comic book where a man became a woman, because I was talking about Elektra, and I said it was Mystic. It wasn't Mystic. That was about two sisters. One of them, I think, was called Gabriella. The book that I was thinking of was Mantra, and that was not from the same company. It was from Ultraverse. That was like in issue one. It's a man, actually a womanizer, that becomes a woman. Kind of like that Mel Gibson movie. I forget what that's called. But he becomes real sensitive to women's feelings after he's been in the shoes. So it's just, oh, he could hear women's thoughts. That's what that movie was about with Mel Gibson. So I got to let Harley out. He had a really good mile and two quarters of walk this morning. And she still has a lot of energy. But back to where I was. And we were talking about the 5 out of 5s and Fantastic Four. And I just talked about the Reed and the Namor conflict that was going on. And Ben was hitting on Lijah. This is also an interesting love triangle. And Lijah was hitting on Johnny with a different identity. So Johnny thinks she's somebody else, but she's the Skrull, and going back to loving Johnny. But it's weird because Ben's falling in love with Lijah, so it's so weird. And if you know the history of it, it's so convoluted, because she was doing the Alicia Masters thing, and you know the history with Alicia Masters and Ben Grimm, so it's just weird. And then we had Ant-Man's daughter had as a new boyfriend, and Kristoff, who's the Doom, was jealous. So yeah, it was a pretty incredible issue. That's Fantastic Four, Volume 1, Number 410. Another DC that's up there. This is interesting, because you're gonna see a lot of Marvel, and maybe this is where I'm heading. It's like I'm enjoying Marvel a little bit more right now. But we have a DC there. Dead Man, Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love, Number 2. This is amazing. So amazing that I double dipped on it. I haven't gotten the trade yet. It hasn't arrived, but so good. Sarah Vaughan, oh man, she can write romance novels. The thing about this is romance horror. So if you've seen The Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love, it was a horror romance title back in the 70s. And she's taken that and added Dead Man into the whole mix. And it just works so well. Especially if you're into romance books. And those of you who are regular listeners of the show know that I really like to read romance. And know that I like to read horror. So you combine the two, and I really, really enjoy it. But this is, they try to find out who killed the female ghost that's in the house where they can't escape. Dead Man and or the girl, and the boyfriend of the woman that they're supposed to get married brings out the dark spirits and attacks the man. No, wait. I don't remember what I wrote here. Her boyfriend is actually like writing a book, at least supposedly. But he turns out to be a bad spirit. And that's essentially what's happening in this book. And the female does not know about this yet, but she's having feelings towards another man. It's so weird. It's really cool. Highly recommend it if you can get that in trade. That's Dead Man, Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love. This was a deluxe format. It seems like they've always given Dead Man the deluxe format treatment, at least in the Kelly Jones years they did. We have Occupy Avengers. I didn't remember liking this much, but I must have really liked it. Hawkeye goes to New Mexico. Maybe that's why I liked it. I love New Mexico. To help the reservation with a water problem, and it stars Red Wolf. That's probably why. It had Red Wolf. I really enjoy that character. Ghost Rider number -1. So this was a -1 issue from the 90s. This was fantastic. I talked about it in Retro, I believe. This is Danny Ketch and Johnny Blaze. We find out they're brothers. Naomi Kale had the Ghost Rider curse, who is the mother, and abandoned them to keep them away from the curse. So there's a relationship between the two. We had Thanos number 1, another Marvel book. He regains his throne and son. And Son and Death out to kill him. So Thanos' son and Death, who he's in love with, are out to kill him with the Champion and Star Fox. We have White number 1. This is the Shark book. This was fantastically frightening. I thought it was amazing. Because you should be scared of the sharks, but you're more scared of the crazy motherfuckers on the other end of the phone that are trying to help out the woman that's stranded in the ocean. I loved it. So those are the books for early December. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Again, feel free to send any questions my way. They will appear on these future episodes. And thank you for submitting the questions that you do. It helps me with my train of thought. It helps guide the content of the show, and I really appreciate those of you that submit them on short notice when I do post it. And I think that is it. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's my email. You can also tweet me at Mike Myers Brunch, and the Facebook page is Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button and follow the episode there. You could also answer questions there. The website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. You should be able to post questions there as well. I do check them every time I post an episode to see if there's any new comments. I think that's it. Please leave an iTunes review. It's been really stagnant out there. Could use one. Talk to you later, and make sure to listen to Mike M's Collected Corner, Geek Brunch, Geek Brunch Retrocast, and DC Noise when it comes out every other month or every other month. I don't know what the status is of that show, but it's really tough in the summer and a lot of vacations, and it's already tough when we're not on vacation. So keep an eye out. I will try to put out some content on the DC Noise feed, even if it's me solo. So take care. Bye.